Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Joshua, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, Will. The end of an era, the end of the season. I'm excited for you and Alex to bring back your show as Crazy Pitch Asians. It's gonna be a good one. Good.
I'm stealing that for our baseball show.
You like that one?
It's better than Reunion back. Yeah, hello and welcome to the season finale of the Raptors Over Everything live call-in show presented by KFC. I'm your host, Wim Liu. Joining me, as always, fellow co-host Josh Hart. It's been one full weekend since the Raptors have been eliminated from the playoffs in Game 7 by the Boston Celtics. Josh, how are you feeling? I know, obviously, it was probably raw on Friday night, but maybe after a nice sunny weekend, your mood has changed? Hopefully.
Yeah, I think the thing that we all are taking away is the tremendous pride in this 2-year run of the Raptors winning the title. And then I think equally as impressive a title defense without a top 3 player on the planet. They went out like champions. This is the first time in a decade that I didn't feel salty at the end of a unsuccessful Raptors playoff run. They went out swinging, and you know, got all credit to the Boston Celtics and their litany of first round top draft picks and them moving forward. They played a hell of a series. The Raptors played a hell of a series, and you know, didn't work out this time.
Yeah, it was.
How are you feeling?
I don't know. I'm still feeling a little bit. I don't think it's easy to get over that Game 7 just because it was eminently winnable. And looking back, I don't know how they were even in the game because I didn't think a single Raptor played well. Nobody played above their capabilities. Maybe Matt Thomas came in for that 1-3 and he made it. And I was like, wow, all right. Shooting 100%, that's marginally better than 99.8. But no, it just felt like that. Even though the Raptors, you know, didn't have anybody play well, the game was still right there. And those costly mistakes throughout the game, but especially at the very end of the game, it's just hard not to look at something like that where, you know, when the Celtics don't score for the final 5 minutes, not a single basket for the final 5 minutes of the game, you got to do a little bit better to close that gap. But honestly, they were just out of gas. And I do agree with you. They did go out like champions. They went down swinging. And I do feel an incredible amount of pride for the team. You know, it's really abrupt, I think. That's the thing that's also hard to get over. It's just that we were so inundated in the Raptors, you know, me especially. But now it's all gone. So I have like 75% of my life back. So I'm not really sure what I'm going to do. I'm going to get into the Jays. All right.
That's what I'm saying. Crazy Pitch Asians. As always, you can call in for yourself at 289-778-0918. But to begin the show today, we have Kazim Femiyide, someone that I look up to tremendously. And we're going to talk a little bit about the end of the season, as well as speculate about one of the biggest potential transactions that the Raptors have to look forward to. Kaz, welcome to the show.
Hey, welcome. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate the intro. How you guys doing? I know it's been a rough weekend for you guys, but welcome to misery as a Knicks fan. Welcome.
I was going to say, man, we got to put it in perspective here, all right? We're talking to a Knicks fan.
Yeah,
here.
Please.
A diehard.
I just want to say I would gladly trade your past 2 years as of Raptor fandom for any, like, literally, I'll maybe, like, give me half of that success that you've had in the past 2 years for my Knicks. You guys are coming off an incredible run, and you should be really proud of your team, man. It was an awesome way to roll.
Yeah, it's been an incredible stretch of success and winning. But it never feels good to lose, especially to the stupid Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
With their team full of guys that I can't help but cheer for, but when piled together, I hate it. Like I love Jaylen Brown, I love Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart even, I really like Kemba Walker.
You're talking to a born and bred New Yorker, and I'm just like, man, I'm kind of rooting for these guys. You know what I mean? Like, they're young, they're fun. They're not like the annoying, like, Boston Celtics of, like, my teenage years of, like the Paul Pierce-led Kevin Garnett, like, incredibly agitatingly annoying but, like, very talented team. Like, this is a very different Celtics team, you know? Like, you like, how do you not like watching Jason Tatum and Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown and even Kemba, you know, Bronx, New York? I mean, that's how sad it's gotten for me as a Knicks fan. I'm claiming Kemba's championship if he gets it as a win for New York City if they go all the way.
Listen, speaking of point guards that you know, have turned down New York, you know, there's links, reports out that I'm sorry, man, I hate doing that to you, but you're a Knicks fan. I'm sure you get it a lot.
Oh, it hurts every time. It never gets old.
You know, speaking of the point guard situation, I mean, the Knicks obviously have had a hole at point guard. I don't even remember for how long. I guess since like the 90s, I guess. Yeah, Fred VanVleet's on the market. I know there's been a lot of, I guess, I don't know, it's not like major links, not from like Shams or like from, you know, Woj, these kind of guys, but there's been talk. You know, the Knicks have some cap room. They got some money. What do you think about the Knicks getting Fred? I mean, personally for you, like, would you be down for something like that? Obviously, it would come at a pretty high cost, but, I mean, we all know here, Fred's a baller.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say it again. I know I've tweeted it a lot, but I feel like the New York Knicks need to back up the Brinks truck for Fred VanVleet, because he's exactly the type of point guard you need, man. Like, very low maintenance. You know what I'm saying? They call him Steady Freddy for a reason. And, like, the New York Knicks, if there's – everybody who has talked about how terrible the Knicks are isn't because of their lack of organizational leadership or because they can't necessarily, like, land that, like, franchise-chasing superstars, because there's no culture there. You know, like, there's no true basketball culture in New York. Like, the only thing that they did that we've got to hang our hat on is, like, you know, we had a couple of seasons when Melo was really good, Linsanity, and the 90s. That's really it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, like, but you look at a guy like Fred VanVleet, and it's such a hand-in-glove fit for New York City, because he just seems like a cultural changer. Like, no, he's not a superstar, but, like, that's not what's going to make the New York Knicks change. Like, that's not what's going to, you know, turn around that sort of franchise. You need steady production from the most important position in basketball. And, you know, there hasn't been that many people as steady as Fred VanVleet. So do you got to overpay for a guy like that? Absolutely. I mean, like, it's not like you're going to overpay for a dude who you're expecting to, you know, become a franchise player. And, like, it's not like you got a guy like Kevin Durant on the market, right, for example. You can't ever overpay for him. You're almost underpaying for him, because what he brings to your market, you can't put a dollar sign on. But with Fred VanVleet, you know what I'm saying, like, there's definitely sort of situations that cause for certain changes within a culture, within an organization. And if you got to pay a guy nine figures to make that change happen for the next 5 or 6 years, hopefully, you pay that price. You know, like, you have to understand, nobody is taking that money. You know, like, nobody, like, you had every single chance at every single available superstar free agent last year, and everyone said no. So you're not going to get that Giannis, KD, LeBron type of talent in New York City. You overpay for a guy, Fred VanVleet. You hope he's everything that he was for Toronto, and you start to build out this young roster, guys, where, you know, you see that, you know, and on top of that, Fred VanVleet deserves to get paid.
Oh,
man.
100%.
Like, he's one of the most underrated stars in the league.
Yeah, he earned that.
What's up?
No, I was going to say, absolutely, man. Fred earned that. But let me ask you, though, as a seasoned Knicks fan, do you think it's more likely that they sign a young, up-and-coming point guard like Fred VanVleet, who has all the intangibles, or do you think they give up too many assets to get Chris Paul? What's more likely?
I mean, I'm hoping that – well, I love Chris Paul, and I think he's also another culture changer. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you got to sign for when you're the New York Knicks. Those are the guys you got to look for. You got to look for people that's going to take your team basketball serious. You know what I mean? Like, we know you're serious about making money. We know you're serious about selling out the Garden and getting big names. But to take your team basketball serious, you need the guys like that. But I do think it's more likely – that you throw the money at Fred VanVleet and make that happen, because just, you know, age, you know, Chris Paul, as good as he is, you know what I mean? He's definitely on the other side of 30. And I honestly think he has a lot of deep roots in Oklahoma City. You know what I mean? Like, even besides from this season, you know, remember back in the day when I want to say New Orleans couldn't really play games where they were supposed to. Like, yep. He, before the Thunder became a franchise, Chris Paul was probably the most important player in Oklahoma City for a long time. So I don't really see them flipping him away anytime soon. I think he's also, you know, heightened his value during this playoff run. So, I mean, you don't want to give up so many assets to where the Knicks have a bare cupboard and you don't have anybody for the dude to even play with, you know what I mean? So as much as I love Chris Paul and as much as, that contract still kind of scares me, and I do believe Fred that the opportunity for Fred VanVleet to earn that nine-figure max deal, I'd rather take that chance than try and take the chance on the Chris Paul on the other side of 30.
I do like the idea of Fred VanVleet going to New York City. I think if the Raptors are afraid of the number, I can't think of a place that I would be more comfortable seeing him in the New York City, because he deserves the opportunity to be the face of one of the biggest basketball franchises on the planet. Like, that is such an excellent next step in the Fred VanVleet story. Of course, I'd be heartbroken to see him go. But, like, the guy has an and-one shoe deal. Like, how iconic would it be for him to be the face of the Knicks? I do, however, wonder if there's an appropriate local hardware store for him to be a brand ambassador to. Fred VanVleet's work with Canadian Tire this year has been inspiring. Will, and I'm not sure that there's a place like it's not going to be Lowe's. It's not going to be Home Depot. But Fred VanVleet is a very important Raptor who's going to get paid in remarkable terms, no matter what. And I don't know. I was curious about what a real Knicks fan thought of the idea of bringing him there. And it seems like you and many others were excited to see it.
Well, here's the thing. What makes sense for why people are so high on Fred VanVleet is because, like, you know, as Toronto is very, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? They're a very engaging fan base. I feel like New York is, they're a smart fan base. Like, they understand why it makes sense to give Fred VanVleet a ton of money, because, you know, the plays that he'll get cheered for in New York, and granted, we don't know when the next time we'll be able to even have games in Madison Square Garden, but, like, you got to understand, this is a franchise that chanted Frank Ntilikina for taking two charges back-to-back. You know what I mean? Like, this is a franchise that chanted Bobby Portis in the beginning of the year.
Oh, come on, man.
Because, like,
come
he on, had man. A couple of, like, very heady, like, very yeah. important basketball plays.
Yeah.
Like, it's a different atmosphere out there, man. Like, wow. And when you want to talk about a guy who has an opportunity to become, like, a superstar, I mean, like, I look at Fred VanVleet the same way I look at a guy like Mark Jackson in his prime, you know what I mean? Like, okay. Not like the superstar sort of, like, he's almost like a hybrid of Mark Jackson, like Tim Hardaway, to where, you know, that's how New Yorkers play. I mean, like, that's how New York basketball is played, you know what I mean? It's guard heavy, they're tough, you know what I mean? They play defense, like, they don't back down, they hit tough shots, like, he is so for this type of lifestyle. And granted, you know, the draft is still coming up, and, you know, there's still opportunities to probably fill out that point guard position there. I mean, like, I still believe in Cole Anthony. I love the story of him being Greg Anthony's son and picking up that mantle as well. I doubt LaMelo Ball falls that far for the Knicks as well. But, I mean, I think Fred VanVleet is such an easy hand-in-glove type of fit, where not only does he play well, he plays the type of basketball that other players would want to play with him. You know what I mean? So, like, as a Knicks fan, he is the type of guy that will absolutely 1,000% ingratiate himself into this city, man. Like, he will run this city if he signed on the dotted line. Because we've seen it every week, man. We see, you know, Kevin Durant having his thoughts about, like, not wanting to be the savior and not wanting to deal with all the extraness that comes with New York. Like, we get that, you know what I mean? And now, as the years go by, there's even become more reverence for Carmelo Anthony, because he took on the challenge of wanting to come to New York and wanting to fix it and wanting to be that guy. I think Fred VanVleet would be seen in the same sort of light if he took that deal and wants to take on the challenge of revitalizing the Knicks and, you know, starting that trend, you know what I mean? Come bringing in the championship pedigree, bringing in, you know, some of that culture that he helped bring to the Raptors with Kyle Lowry and Pascal Siakam and Kawhi Leonard. Like, it would be a massive success for the Knicks if they sign him. And I don't think there's a number that you could put on it that is too much to get a guy that can do the things he can do for a team that desperately needs the things that he can do. You know what I mean? So I'm all for it. And if I'm James Dolan or Leon Rose or whoever's calling the shots over there nowadays, you back up the Brinks truck, you hand him a blank check and say, name your price.
Well, all right. Well, Kaz, thanks for reaching out. Do you want to plug your content and we'll let you get off to the rest of your day?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Please check out my podcast, Stay Less with Kaz and Low Key, every Monday and Friday on, you know, you can subscribe on youtube.com/Kazeem. You can check it out anywhere you listen to the podcast, whether it's Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever. But Stay Less with Kaz and Low Key, that's the podcast, man. And guys, thank you so much for having me on this, man. I know it'll be a long time before I get to see some Knicks basketball, but this kind of warmed me up. So I appreciate you.
All right.
Thanks so much, Kaz. Appreciate you, man.
No problem. Thank you.
Peace.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I hear all the arguments.
Can't wait.
But I can't wait for the Knicks to screw it up. Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, me
that's
too.
The that's thing. The, if Knicks fans like, wanted, you know James Dolan's going to do the opposite.
You know they're not going to deliver. You know,
Knicks fans were like, we love Linsanity, all right? We love Linsanity. They're like, you love Linsanity?
Yeah.
Okay, we're running it back with Raymond Felton. By the way, I think...
Yeah, I really appreciate Kav, and I like that. I appreciate him calling in. I cannot wait to replay this clip when Fred VanVleet signs in Toronto again. But I do believe that of the teams that are interested, it's Phoenix, Detroit, and the Knicks. The Knicks are the one that I'd be happy to see him go to, because I think that's like a cool opportunity.
There's going to be so much pressure, man. Even stars go to the Knicks.
But Fred loves the pressure.
Fred loves to shoot 40%, and people are going to kill this man. You understand? Like, you know that, right? Like, and it's not me disliking Fred. I love Fred, man. But like, you know, I just, the fit is tough. Now, the Chris Paul thing. So we can move on to more comments and stuff like that. The last thing is just, you know, the Knicks have a strong tie-in with CAA, one of the most powerful agencies in the world. They just hired Leon Rose from CAA. Yep. And Chris Paul, CAA agent, just our client, just like Tom Thibodeau was, the new head coach of the New York Knicks. I can see that happening, man. I can see that happening. I'm just saying. But it'll be heavy bidding, though. Maybe, I can see Chris Paul being, like, the answer for a lot of franchises. Like, maybe...
He is.
Maybe Milwaukee. Like,
if the Milwaukee Bucks, Milwaukee, now that they have the desire to go up into the luxury tax to provide a contender, I think Chris Paul, for years I've said, like, Chris Paul should be the point guard in
I agree.
Milwaukee.
Well, I don't know about that. I think in New York. That's a guy where...
What, the Frank Ntilikina and Julius Randle to the Thunder? That trade will be making me so tight.
No, listen, Fred, we got to keep Fred in Toronto, man. I know, like, look, obviously we've seen him up close. It's always, like, grass is always greener. And I think if you're looking at the whole landscape, you might think, you know what, Fred, you know, you might overpay for Fred or anything like that. But at the same time, you know, bringing on Kaz is a good example of just, like, how much other teams and other fan bases respect and, you know, appreciate Fred and how little some teams have, right? When we're talking about like a Detroit or like a New York or even Phoenix, right? They don't have a lot of options. So, you know, they will pay for something like that. And I think for the Raptors, I think, you know, Fred is hugely important. You don't just develop the guy and let the talent walk away. So let's keep Fred, man. Let's get more, you know, ASMR, Canadian Tire commercials,
peanut butter,
anything, man.
Anything for Fred. We have another caller. You can call yourself at 289-778-0918. Cashton from Toronto to discuss Pascal Siakam. Cashton, welcome to
the show. Hey, how are you?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Thanks
doing all right. You sound good. A little peppy.
I'm peppy. I'm fired up. I'll tell you why.
All right.
I've spent a long weekend, you know, reading the timeline, people killing Pascal, I just want to describe to you very briefly a player that I think a lot of Raptors fans would really love to have on their team. A guy who averaged 20 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists while shooting 50% from the field.
Pretty good.
In the NBA Finals with the second best defensive rating on the team. That's Pascal Siakam. Mm. And people, that's in front of fans, unlike this fraudulent bubble environment where you get a bubble ring.
Yeah, doesn't count.
Like, this guy is, yeah, exactly. It's a bubble ring. Who cares? But what we're talking about with Pascal is, I just can't believe, well, maybe I can't believe it. We saw it with Fred last year. People are fickle. And I wanted to call mostly first to say to any Raptors fans listening, that if you don't like Pascal anymore, I will buy your Pascal Siakam merchandise, his jersey, a bobblehead, anything. I will take it off your hands. Hmm. Decent price. I won't take it from you for free. I'm buying all the Pascal Siakam stock. And my question for you both, rather than just ranting and raving about how great Pascal is looking ahead to the future, you know, obviously with Giannis coming to free agency, possibly Brad Beal, Victor Oladipo, what kind of team would you see as being a really like elite championship contender where you're building around a Pascal and an OG and maybe even a Fred?
Well, I think, you already have a really strong defensive core and setup there. All those guys you just mentioned are plus defenders. You know, Pascal is a really plus defender. I think what you need is a little more shot creation. And I think that's what we saw in this series, just like the absolute difference in sort of what Boston to do to get a shot versus what Toronto could do to get a shot. And I think, yeah, you need more shot creation. Now, the shot creation could come in a myriad of ways. Like Giannis driving to the rim and, you know, sucking in three defenders, that's shot creation because someone's going to be open. You know, Brad Beal, obviously, is a guy who can create shots. He's got really good at the pick and roll, something like that. So, but I mean, honestly, I mean, when you're talking about all-star free agents, all of the people there usually are pretty good shot creators. And I think, honestly, the core group of this team is pretty flexible to work with a lot of different types of pieces. You know, like if you want to bring in another point guard, you know, let's say after Kyle, I don't know what you do with Kyle going forward, but, you know, obviously we should respect him, but you know, you could put a point guard there because we've seen two point guard lineups work. We can put a shooting guard there because you could put Fred at the one. You could, you know, bring in a center, which I feel like that could also help. You know, if you bring in Giannis and he plays small ball center, it's a killer lineup. You know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure. I think Kyle, like, I hope he plays forever. I just, you know, I thought ruling it out. He could be the Tom Brady of the NBA. I don't know. Maybe not the Buccaneers Tom Brady, but, you know, playing in his 40s pretty well, Tom Brady. The only other thing, you know, I guess, Josh, I didn't give you a chance to talk, so I've been ranting.
Yeah, I think what the Raptors – I've said, like, before, what the Raptors' offense needs a big wing who can get his own shot. It's why Kawhi Leonard works so well. It's why, like, Stanley Johnson in his stints in the bubble looked decent because the Raptors' offense creates a lot of room there in that someone who can drive from the three-point line or the elbow into that sort of just outside the painted area and pull up. I kind of think Stanley Johnson might have a crack at it next year as being someone who the Raptors rely on a little if they go a bit smaller. But yeah, I think you need like a big wing who can score the ball and has a decent handle. Because I don't like, unless Pascal Siakam is able to refine the skill portions of his game, that's still the hole. It's still, you need somebody who can handle the ball in the painted area and get his own shot reliably.
Okay, but to be clear, that is not Stanley though. Okay, like come on, man, what are we doing?
I don't really think it's Stanley, bro.
What is going on?
He's gonna have the first shot at it.
I hope
like,
not.
That's what the rap. Unless I don't. But who's the free agent that they go and get?
Bro, like, we can't expect Stanley Johnson to come in and improve this team. I mean, like I think he can be better than he did.
Not improve the team. But that's a role that this team clearly needs, yeah. And Stanley Johnson has the. He knows that, and he should circle that skill set to develop in this offseason so that in training camp, I have no idea who the Raptors are targeting outside of that. That is an opportunity on this team.
Pascal should go at it.
OG should go at it. Stanley Johnson should go at it because you need that. You need that part of the offense fixed.
You don't think putting Stanley over Norm is, you know, I know he had an Osmos, you know, dominated off, you know, bubble or whatever. He's been more focused on Osmos a little bit these days. But I think he gets the main look as that sort of big, not obviously big, but certainly a wing scorer. over Stanley. But I don't know, maybe I'm a little too high on this new generation of Raptors. I don't want to take up all your time, but the Toronto Star just put out this article highlighting this thing called the Pascal Love Project. So if you haven't seen it, basically you just write a little, you know, share a note, you know, appreciating Pascal. Just, you know, obviously there's the critique of his play, which in some cases is warranted, but I'm a Pascal stan. But then there's the stuff that's just absolutely disgraceful with like the racist petitions and all that garbage. So just something I think it's nice that the fan base can rally around. Toronto Star covered it today. You just write a little letter via email, and there's a couple of season seat holders organizing it. So it's, the Toronto Star has it. It's the Pascal Love Project. Just wanted to shout it out. But yeah, thanks for your time, cool. Guys.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, have a good one.
Yeah, that is an awesome initiative.
You're going to write a warrant for you for Pascal?
I probably will do it anyway. Look, I obviously people like, you got to give people room to grow, man. Like, what's wrong with the world?
You got
to
not be a racist.
You got to just not be a flagrant racist. Absolutely. That's just disgusting. Like, outright disgusting.
It's
like,
disgusting.
But it's just, you got to give people room to grow, man. Like, it's like, I don't know, man, superstars just aren't born overnight. Like, I think Kyle Lowry said it best right after 2015, you know, like everyone was saying negative things about Kyle. Obviously, you know, he didn't perform, and you know, he sticks with it. He keeps using it to improve. And obviously there's some things you can use to improve, but I don't think there's anything you can use in terms of racist comments like that. That's just stuff that should be banned, outright banned.
No place
but,
for it.
Yeah, man, give Pascal some time, man. Like, he's already delivered a championship. Like, it's unbelievable. I mean, yeah, of course he didn't perform up to standard, man. He was the first person to tell you that. And he brought that up himself in the press conference. You know, you just give him some time, man. Give him some time. Like, it's really shameful. Like, we give more time to Jose Calderon and a whole bunch of other Raptors who have not done very much for the franchise.
Absolutely.
Not done half of what Pascal's done for the franchise. But people will really gladly go back and stand Jose Calderon, right? And what did he even do? You know what I mean? I'm not even trying to single out Jose. I enjoyed Jose, too. I'm just saying, like, bro, but a championship, really, a number two option on a championship team should earn you some like actual, you know, credit with the franchise, man. Come on.
Yeah. Why isn't Jose Calderon in the bubble? Isn't he like some representative for the players?
He is,
now?
Yeah.
Retired players? I don't know what the deal is. Anywho, we have our next caller, known to many of you. We have Vitaly from Moscow. Discuss the fraud of the week. Vitaly, welcome back to the show. I'm so worried about Pascal. Vitaly, how's it going?
What's going on?
Could you hear that, guys?
I think he's yeah, what's that, Vitaly?
Could you hear that? That was Russell Westbrook's legacy.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
I'm sorry, wow. I had I had to flush it one time.
This man's calling us from a bathroom, man. All right. Yeah, I mean Westbrook.
I had to flush. Well, as you can tell, he's definitely the big fraud of the week, but he's probably the big fraud of the decade. Oh. This one, the last one.
Whoa.
No, I mean, I agree with you. Listen,
yeah,
I mean,
how many times has this man lost in the first round? And then he finally gets to the second round again after, I think, the first time since 2016 when the Thunder blew a 3-1 lead, which he was a big part of that as well. And then he's in the bubble trash-talking literal babies and Rajon Rondo's older brother, who is the head barber for all the NBA players. I didn't even know Rajon Rondo had a brother or that he cut hair or that he was in the bubble cutting hair. But if that's your last moment is trash-talking a barber, is come on, man. Big fraud.
Oh, man.
And the funniest part, like, you know, they name the younger one, Rajon, the other one, William. You know, it's like they didn't go too creative. They mixed up. Man, the saddest part to me is they're down by 29. He gets doubled. Mm. You know, it's like kind of accidental double team. He's like, you can't guard me. You need to double me. Bro, you're down by 29 points.
We just messed up this rotation.
Yo, we're just playing zone, bro. Like, that wasn't it. We weren't trying to guard you. Oh my goodness.
It's It made up because, like, I'm a self-admitted Westbrook hater because I think his triple double stat padding, it's been fraudulent misrepresentation of his ability to play the basketball, and now we see this. So it kind of made up for the Raptors' loss for me a little bit. But how did you guys had a few? I want to ask you this. What is the best Siakam slander nickname that you've heard?
I think actually one that I think should be said but hasn't already been said is people should be calling this man Luke Richard Mbamute. I feel like that's just like easy money for people and they're just not going after that. Personally, I'm not on board with any Pascal slander, but I do feel like there's a lot of material right now. So I don't know.
I heard one which I really liked was they called him Pascal Abrini.
Oh, come no. Like, no. Scal could shoot.
Like the White Mamba. Pascal Abrini. No, it's not bad. Listen, quick Siakam rant. He's in his fourth season. He started playing basketball when he was 17. The man hurt his groin earlier this season. Yeah. You know, I feel like he's an energy player, a guy that feeds off defense. It's one playoff series. Relax. Apparently, people going way too hard on the internet. So many bandwagon fans show up in the playoffs that they don't even know what a pick and roll is. Like, relax, guys. He had a bad series. They're talking about this contract. His contract hasn't even begun yet. First year is next year, and he will be fine. This I have no doubt about. Mm-hmm. He will be fine.
Those are wise words, man. He will be fine. He was not good this playoffs. Let's be real, but we know he can bad. Perform. At worst, he is a very good number two option. We just want
to, and we need to make sure that he has a basket this offseason.
Yeah,
because as much as you know, many of us were following the instructions to stay at home. I would hope that, like, it's disappointing that he wasn't able to stay in the kind of game shape he liked to.
Drake just built that huge house. I believe what is it called? The embassy?
Drake's
the embassy, yeah, the embassy. Right? And there's embassy, like a whole court in there. I just saw some videos of Steph Curry shooting threes with Drake, which is hilarious. I don't know why you would I don't know. That just seems like a ridiculous thing to be doing with the best shooter of all time. But Pascal, just listen, drive up north to Forest Hill, you know, knock on Drake's door and just ask him if you could use that gym in the wintertime, man. Just
it's got to happen. I actually really am excited for Pascal next season. I think he will come back motivated. And the path is so clear. Like, you just need to work on being truly confident with your handle in every situation. Because the handle improved over the course of this year.
But then it also regressed.
Back in the bubble. I think that had more to do with his confidence in it than his actual level of skill.
Fair enough.
I am hoping that next season he feels reliable. He feels that it's reliable. And he'll go to it often because he's very talented.
Very
like,
talented.
He's not just like a big athletic wing with no, like, he to me has more ball skills than Giannis. Giannis is a much better athlete, but already, like, Pascal should be more confident. I think that's what I took away. He looked down on himself, and there's one thing about this team. You see, when Kyle figured out that no matter what, he needed to believe in himself, don't not get too high, not get too low, he's a Hall of Famer. Pascal will have to undergo that same transformation in his confidence.
Yeah, something disappointing is, you know, when I compare OG and Pascal, OG, the guy, he's powerful, he's brute strength. But Pascal was a soccer player. He has phenomenal footwork. He's very, the way he's able to move laterally. That's one thing that we always wished OG had is Pascal's grace with the Eurostep, the way he moves. But he looked flat-footed, so I don't know if the groin is still bothering him, if he just, if you don't use it, you lose it. You don't train for months, that's what happens. So I'm sure he will be dedicated this offseason, and he'll be back and he'll be better. Just last thing, I want to give a lot of love to Nick Nurse because I think the talent disparity was evident, and we may have had no business being within 2 points in game seven because the man tied everything. Box and runs, different zone defenses, different substitute. And you know, I've even seen tweets and posts about Nick Nurse. Why didn't he call a timeout with Van Vliet? Yes, like maybe there are a couple mistakes he made, but overall, if we had Dwayne Casey, we would have been swept in three with that matchup against Boston. Sure, because Nurse, he tries everything. He's innovated. He works the refs to some almost to a fault, but he's a world-class coach. We have a world-class front office, a great culture, and I'm confident and I'm certain that we will be back on that mountain sooner rather than later.
I love it, man. This is why you're the gold caller, man. I appreciate it, Vitaly. Enjoy what's left of summer. And, yeah, call us back, man. Call us back when the season's back, all right?
Enjoy it. Much love, guys. Right, bye.
Peace.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I will always stand for a coach that can get on the floor and guard Jason Tatum. And that's what Nick Nurse is capable of doing. You point to me one coach in the NBA right now that can guard Jason Tatum. You think Greg Popovich,
I can't wait,
71, could force Jason Tatum into a turnover like Nick Nurse can? Please.
Nick Nurse is going to fool everybody and take the tip off in game one for the Celtics against the Miami Heat.
Oh, man. No, I mean, I actually do think, like, again, like if you just look at the facts on the paper, if Pascal's going to play the way he did, and I told you that at the outside of the series, and everybody on the team is going to shoot 40% or lower, except for Serge, you know you are losing that series, and you know that it's going to be a short series. And maybe it would have been a short series without OG's shot, but, I mean, the Raptors fought like hell in five of those games, and they forced a game seven. They were within one possession. That does not happen without great coaching. And again, if you go through the actual X's and O's of just how the defense was played and the chess match between Stevens and Nick Nurse, it was the highest level stuff. Yeah, offensively it was ugly, but that's really a testament to how good both defenses were at sort of snuffing each other out. And honestly, when defenses are that good, you might just need superstars to deliver. And the Raptors realistically got three superstar performances of Kyle Lowry and nothing else. No one else even came close to having a superstar performance.
OG was pretty good in game six. And Norm, not superstar, but superstar off the bench.
That's a six-man performance. That's like a...
like a six man of the year, like a solid, like a very, yeah.
Anyway.
Anywho, I agree. It was kind of a sad series.
I mean, whatever, man. People are going to point fingers everywhere. I'd rather them point them at Nick Nurse than, I guess, at any of the other guys. So we have another caller on the line. Sirit Sohi, Yahoo Sports writer extraordinaire, friend of the program, been on the podcast a few times. Sirit, first off, Raptor fans are mad at you. Can you explain the situation? What happened? Don't they know you're Canadian and you're a huge Raptor fan?
Let's just jump right in. Yeah, the biggest Raptor fan. Yes. I asked Pascal a follow-up question that I definitely awkwardly bungled the phrasing of, which didn't help the translation of it. But basically, he had said that he blamed himself, and I wanted to figure out how that felt because it's really the first time he's ever been in a situation like that, I think he understood what I said. I think he gave a pretty good answer, but I think also the TSN broadcast cut right into that question.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So I think a lot of people thought that was the first question that was asked.
Oh, no.
Which would have been pretty bad if it was, like... So I understand why people were upset, but then I think once I explained myself, most people were like, oh, okay, so, you know. That was Friday. It feels like a lifetime ago, though.
Wow.
Yeah, your mentions were like an absolute mess. When I reached out to you to come on the show, I went and like, let's see what the people are saying about Sears, and it was not cute. Sorry that happened.
No, it was awesome. It was okay. I think so.
That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. I mean, look, first off, that Pascal post-game press interview is so hard to watch. Like, he was so open and transparent, and I think that's something that he's always been as a person. And I think, you were around the team a lot, but especially last year, I mean, all throughout that the finals run. And, you know, you get to know people and stuff like that. You get to know, like, what kind of people you can ask questions to and sort of who they are, and sort of you have a rapport, right? And Yeah, and I think Pascal is just, especially because he had said it, and I think that was such a big focus of just like, how is he feeling, you know, and what are his thoughts on something that, you know, objectively was a pretty bad playoff series for him. So I didn't think the question was unfair.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah, I kind of felt bad after, because, you know, like the way that it came off on social media was, you know, like I was trying to basically flame him.
But I mean, that's the thing, though. And, but people were just
there's so much horrible stuff online about him already. Yeah. Like, I hated the idea of just kind of piling onto that. Mm-hmm. And then ironically, I was kind of trying to humanize the whole situation he was in. But yeah, I really feel for him, because like, I feel like he's like the type to take this stuff on his chest. And, you know, I kind of just hope he turned everything off for a while, because like, there's been some really horrible stuff online.
Yeah,
I know that he disabled his Instagram comments, and it's just like, yeah. I don't know.
I don't doubt that Pascal's not paying attention to any of it.
Earlier, I think before game six, I think in the pregame press conference, you asked Nick Nurse a question about Pascal, sort of just like how he's dealing with everything. And I thought Nick offered great perspective. You know, he talked about how people have doubted Pascal over many, many different steps. And Pascal has overcome so many hurdles to even get to this point to raise the bar for himself. And I think, you know, when you just look at the team universally, Fred has given great quotes about Pascal. Kyle has given phenomenal quotes, especially after game seven, you know, sharing his perspective for after 2015 with Pascal. Like, there's just, I'm really happy that the Raptors as an organization have a lot of people there to support Pascal. You know, like Serge also gave great quotes. He said he played with a lot of great players. Everyone goes through this. And I think fans in the moment are too angry to sort of parse that out and sort of see clearly. But yeah, I mean, Pascal is clearly a very talented player. He's accomplished a lot, and he's got a lot of good, I guess, people in the organization in his corner. Online, that stuff doesn't even matter. Like, like I know it's hard because you're seeing that stuff, and some of it is objectively gruesome and just horrendous. But you know, the people that really matter are the people that are around you, and the people who pay you, and the people that play with you. So at least we know that they have some support there. So
that's good advice for us all. Really, I worry about it in the bubble with like a lot of these guys, though, because I think just being in a situation like that, like you're by yourself largely, like you're just kind of going to be on social media all the time. You know, Paul George talked about this, and even LeBron has, you know, he hasn't said anything about how it's impacting him, I don't think, but he usually turns his social media off, and he said that he wasn't going to this time. I think everyone in the bubble is probably kind of online more than they usually are because of the circumstances, and I just wonder how that's impacting a lot of guys. Even, you know, like our old friend of the program, Danny Green, kind of calling out fans about a week ago about his performance, right? Like, it's just, I think it's a different mental situation for a lot of these guys right now. But you're right, you know, I think everybody in the organization knows who Pascal is, and I think a lot of really unprecedented things that we probably don't even understand. I think like there's a lot of speculation about, you know, muscle memory and things like that, which kind of just shows you that how inexplicable this all is for him. But yeah, like I think Pascal's obviously great, and I think he's going to be fine. This is like kind of similar, I think, to what happened to Jason Tatum last year. Obviously not with the circumstances in the bubble, but just a player that's finding himself, and probably as a result of that, like doesn't have like the healthiest shot profile for his skill set, but it's necessary to do this just to figure out like where you should be, which isn't the most efficient thing or the most effective thing, especially in a playoff series, but overall for his development, just kind of a necessary hurdle to get through.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Point. Let's hear it. Who of the remaining teams, who do you like? Let's talk a little bit of the league-wide. Do you think the Denver Nuggets go back-to-back 3-1 devastations?
I think so. It kind of – I love that series because it kind of – like, don't you guys love when you make predictions? And, like, we're wrong all the time. When it just, like, confirms all your theories about life, that's always just wonderful. I love Denver. I always have. I think they're, like, one of the most fun teams in the league. I definitely had doubts about whether they could find a way to build around Jokic defensively, especially in the playoffs, just because, like, I think you could just mine a matchup like him over and over again. You obviously have to have him on the floor. I just thought that was kind of, like, an untenable, like, you know, chess-type situation for any other team, just to, like, kind of be able to do that over and over again. But, like, I don't know what happened to the Clippers. Like, I think, like, watching that game yesterday, Kawhi just, like, I mean, he missed some shots that he usually will make in those situations. But now that there's just one game left, you know, it kind of just makes you wonder where they'll be mentally. And I know that's, like, oftentimes a cliche, but I really just feel like, and I was around them a little bit in LA, like, something just feels off about that team, and it always has. Like, they just never really clicked for the entire season. Like, there were moments where they just looked, like, terrorizing, for sure. But it always, like, came in little spurts, and definitely more on, like, the defensive end. And they don't really have an answer for Jokic. Trez is probably the best matchup, even though Jokic has, like, the height advantage over him, and Doc kind of came under fire for not going to that as much. So I'm really curious to see what'll happen with that. And if he'll play smaller, which also, like, you know, if you want to take it back to the Raptors, is definitely, like, I think a fair criticism of Nurse as well, and how he, but I think Gasol played, like, 19 whole minutes in game 7, when I think at that point, like, you know, we had enough tape.
Yeah.
I think we knew what the deal was.
nine would have been enough.
I'm really curious to see what happens. Yeah, you know, like, I get that you can't bench the guy, especially, you know, when Pascal is playing the way that he is. Like, it just, the big man rotation was just short. I think I would have loved to see a little bit more of, like, Serge and OG.
Yeah.
And just generally seeing OG get more featured, just because of how well he was playing, it would have been great to kind of see him get the ball a little bit more. But I think also, like, that's probably the next thing on OG's development, of just probably being a little bit more demanding offensively, because, like, he's really developed so much on that end. And right now it's kind of like, when the Raptors get it, it's kind of like a nice gift basket. But, like, I do wonder if next season that can be something that can, like, if he can be, like, a consistent, like, 14 or 15 points per game, like, that you just know you're going to get, I think that would be wonderful for his development. And probably, I don't know, I think that's realistic. What do you guys think? I know we were talking about completely different teams, but oops.
Yeah, I don't really see a path to OG getting the kind of offensive touches he needs to average 14 or 15 points unless he's able to handle the ball, like, to dribble the ball more effectively. It just, it takes out so much off the table for him in the offense that the Raptors run. But he's athletic as hell, and I would like to see him get more sort of dribble handoffs at the top of the elbow so he can roll, because he's still a pretty solid, one of the better, it's him and Norm for the strongest finishers on the team. But I don't, like, I just don't know where the offense finds a spot for OG to get the offensive flourish I think he's capable of. And it's kind of a thing that I think Nick Nurse, after he signs his new deal, will have to think about, because OG has shown too much to not get the kind of opportunities that he needs to. But with the scheme the Raptors currently run, that's a problem for OG to solve, is he needs to improve his handle. So it's one or the other. Yeah. Will, do you broadly agree?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I also think part of it is just more confidence in his own offense. And I think that's what we saw here, because a lot of the Raptors' offense, it's not as set as other things. So it's not like necessarily Nick has to call more plays for him. I mean, he can, but it's a kind of a free-flowing offense. And it's his decision-making of saying that, look, I'm confident I can take this shot. I think you saw that at times in the Celtics series, right, where he was like, all right, I got the ball. There's like 8 seconds left. I don't necessarily need to reset the play here. I can try to take my man on off the dribble, or I can, you know, shoot a pull-up jumper or stuff like that. It's not going to be the most efficient stuff, but I mean, the more confidence he has in himself, the more he's going to develop. And I think OG is a pretty confident guy, so I'm looking forward to that too. But yeah, I mean, last thing before we let Tira go is just, listen, if Kawhi, what do you think the reaction will be if Kawhi loses in game 7 and the Raptors lose in game 7? Do you think people might point to the fact that Kawhi left a championship contender, or like a literal championship team, and face criticism over that? Because I feel like he skated by that the whole year.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kawhi's done a lot of things to kind of skirt criticism. He's just, like, not the loudest guy in the world, and also just winning a championship last year, I think, you know, naturally should build you a lot of goodwill.
Not for Pascal, apparently.
Made some decisions. Yeah, right?
Jeez.
Yeah, it's so funny to see kind of like the way fan expectations can change that quickly. Although, ultimately, like, probably a good thing. I think, you know, in the time that I've kind of like been close to the Raptors, you probably know this, like, one of the things that's bothered me is how the fan base sees itself, mm-hmm. and that has changed so much, which is actually really cool to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I think we're gonna see a little bit of a magnifying glass on Kawhi after this, for sure. If they don't win this game, just because, like, look, this is a matchup they should have won.
Oh yeah.
Denver is just not as talented as them, and there are clear matchups that they can exploit, and, like, to their credit, like, have. And they have showed that they're the better team really throughout most of this series. It's honestly not unlike what happened in the Raptors-Celtics series, where, like, I think we can agree that, like, on paper, the Celtics are definitely a better team than the Raptors, but the Raptors, like, just found a way to come through and win some of these closer games. I think that's kind of, like, what is happening in the Clippers Denver series as well. And I think that is something that is just going to, like, not go over well with a lot of people, just because, like, they should definitely win this series. They should have closed it out in game six, like, at the latest. Like, they had no business losing that game. Really, they should have closed it out in five. Yeah. They're just a better team. Denver's doing some things that is helping them, but, like, man, like, it just doesn't really... It just doesn't really compute that they're losing this series, and they really shouldn't be. So I think they'll be like, you know, I think the internet's going to have fun with it. Like, we'll probably see some stuff like, you know, like that old picture of Jokic just like, you know, like just being like a chubby kid. The fact that like he beat Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, I think will probably go around, will circulate a little bit. But yeah, like there hasn't really been like a magnifying glass put to his decisions in a lot of ways that, you know, I think will be. And also puts a lot of pressure on the Clippers. Like, they gave up a lot to get these two guys, and they gave themselves two shots at this. Like, I don't know if those guys are going to re-sign next year, especially if they lose now and then don't make it the year after. Like, I'm just
going to be wait. I cannot wait. I cannot wait.
Yeah, there would be some, like, I don't know, poetic justice, symmetry, or whatever you want to call it, to both these teams losing in the exact same way in the same round.
Truly. All right, Tira. Thanks for reaching out. Appreciate you. Good luck covering the rest of this NBA season, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you. Thanks for all your great work, guys.
Well, thank you. Peace. Will, there's a comment that has lit the chat on fire. Do you want to talk about it?
Fire nurse?
No. What?
That's what people are saying.
No. That,
that's what people are saying. All right. Listen, what's wrong with you guys? What is wrong with you guys?
People want to know what centers the Raptors should go after this offseason.
This is the fire comment? Okay.
Well, apparently people have some opinions. Do you have an opinion? Do you have a big, this is the guy?
No. I don't think the center position is that important, generally. I mean, it is important because you need a really solid defensive player at your center spot, for sure.
Yes.
But I also think that you can hide your center a lot in the modern NBA. Maybe not in Nick Nurse's defense because he does require a lot. But, I mean, I just wouldn't spend that much. I mean, like, look, what did the Raptors have at their center spot this year? You had 26 to Mark and about, like, 22, 23 to Serge. Like, I'd maybe just cut that in half. If I can just get center production for 23, you know, mil – I'd be pretty happy with that instead of paying 50 mil for it. I think that was one of the inefficiencies in terms of just looking at the dollar amounts. I mean, I don't care. I enjoyed having both of those guys. They're both champions for the Raptors. Absolutely. I just mean the like team construction moving forward. I don't think you'll be seeing $50 million spent on the center position by any team, you know, unless you have like Embiid or I mean, I guess Rudy Gobert.
No, I keep Rudy Gobert away from this team. I was talking to Assad at Swar Lasers, you know, slander god. He thinks Miles Turner is a guy that the Raptors should think about. I don't mind it.
I don't know.
I think he might be like he might be an asset that's a little undervalued this offseason given whatever's going on in Indiana with, you know, Becky Hammon perhaps being their next coach. Maybe Mike D'Antoni. Who the hell knows? I kind of like it. He's skilled. He's solid enough on defense. What, you don't think he could give you?
I you know what? He's absolutely like. It depends on which way you look at him, because you could either see like the sort of the Kristaps skill set of like shot blocking, 3-point shooting center. Mm-hmm. But then I see a lot of like inflexibility in his game. He does get a little too jumper happy. I get that he was playing a two center lineup that forced him to play power forward, so he had to shoot for spacing. But
yeah,
I don't know. There's something about his game that he's a little awkward with the ball. Like I don't really like him as a player, to be honest. He has some Bargnani qualities that I really don't enjoy. Because you could also be like, oh, Bargnani, a shot blocking 3-point shooting center. And I'm like, yeah, it's freaking Andrea Bargnani.
But then you have all the Bargnani. I don't know. I think that I do think that the Raptors need a new.
Okay, but what kind of veteran mold of center would you want? If there is one type of player that you would like to have with this group.
The like sad answer is JV.
Really?
But I think that having someone who, like, I think the Raptors need more offense in the paint, like in the painted area. It was just something that made this team look unbalanced. Someone who's a bit more defensively engaged than JV typically. But yeah, I kind of want like an old school. Mm-hmm. I like giving Nick Nurse players that are like, you know, you sort of very clear what they're good at, what they're bad at, and he's allowed to work it out. I don't think you need to overpay to have some sort of basketball savant center, because you saw Marc Gasol's role in the offense become more and more limited over time went. And I think one part of that was for sure Marc Gasol being, you know, Marc Gasol, but another part was Nick Nurse flattening out what he wanted from him. So I don't know who, like, somebody like that.
So, okay.
Steven Adams would be like way too expensive. Yeah, I would not at all likely.
Good. I think the only thing there is just, I think Nick has said that he wants shooters at every single position. He really values the shooters in the three. And, you know, I hear you.
That's why he got JV shooting those.
Yeah. Right. I forgot. JV also JV is a threes shooter. JV's probably shooting the three better than Mark nowadays, man. It's unfortunate, but.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think if I just had to pick a mold of center, I'd probably pick like Draymond. You know, that kind of like.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, I mean, that's Draymond's like an all time player too, like defensively. So obviously, that's like if I was like, oh, I'd like an Embiid center, please. But. Yeah, someone who's like really smart defensively, adaptable, quick, because you're going to need to play many schemes. You're going to have really high basketball IQ. And then who can also shoot a three, kind of. I think all centers outside of like maybe four or five are guys that shoot the three, kind of. Like Brook Lopez is a guy who shoots the three, kind of, man. I've seen him, this guy, warm up and stuff. It's like it's 30% whether it's in the game or out or during practice. Like I think most centers are like that. And yeah, if you can get someone who can defend like, you know, someone like Draymond. I'm asking for a lot.
What's Willie Cauley-Stein's name? Just as a prospect, I'm not like we're saying that we can't go and pick these like ready-made players. I know that he's not really a prospect anymore, but what, it's been 4 years in the league? Like somebody like that, I'd be interested to see the Raptors bring in and see what they can get. I know that's kind of like what happened with like Greg Monroe and Jared Sullivan before him, but like I need training camp to have like a few centers to look at, because I do not believe in this rotation next year.
If you're gonna take a flyer on somebody,
I don't think
Harry Giles. I like Harry Giles' skill set.
That's a good answer. We'll take one last call. Somebody who's supported the show from very early on, Kate from Toronto. Welcome back to the show.
Hey guys.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
Well, I finally crashed down to reality. I was sad. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I certainly was. But then, you know, if you had to trade places with any other fan base for the last 24 months, there is no better fan base to have been a part of than to be a Toronto Raptor fan for the last 24 months. So we've had it really good, and I think we've got a lot of stuff to look forward to, too. So that's sort of what I wanted to focus on.
Okay, I agree.
My main sort of thought in coming into this is, you know, looking at Jamal Murray just sort of balling out and how great that is. Team Canada is going to be a lot of fun next year. So even if the Raptors are sort of in a transitional year, I think we've got a lot to look forward to with Team Canada. Although, do you guys have a sense for if the Olympics are actually going to be happening?
That's why I made the face. I think that I think the era of like NBA superstars doing the like playing in the Olympics, especially with a potential move of the NBA schedule,
yeah,
especially next season. Like I do think
it's
due.
To an end.
It really it, that, like I've been thinking about it. Like bums me out.
Canada.
Me too, but I can't really see a reason why they would be there. If the season runs into. Yeah, I think if the NBA season runs into July, there's just no way the NBA guys are going to be available for the Olympics, which sucks because after what, Will, you disagree?
I just think it's – I mean, yes, obviously, if there's the schedules overlap, some people are not going to be able to go. But, I mean, let's be real, not all the best Canadian players are going to be making it to the finals. And the
Nuggets are right there.
They're very close. The Olympics are a huge advertising spot. So I think there'll still be like a push some of the top athletes there. I mean, who knows? Maybe it goes the way of soccer where you only have like, I don't know, the best like under 23 players going. Like you don't see Lionel Messi at the Olympics, but I still think you see some players. I think.
Yeah. I hope so. I feel a little pessimistic.
At its best, how many win team is Team Canada in the East?
I mean, if we got...
I think that's like a...
If we have like...
If it was... Okay, so if you're talking like the full Team Canada, like you've got Olenek, uh-huh. You've got Murray, Shea...
Lou Dort.
You're going to have...
Lugans Dort. Yep.
Chris Boucher, third string center.
You're going to have Dort. Boucher and Dort, that's like the movie Twins right there, folks. Like just opposites attract. Love that.
Yep.
Love that for them.
Kem Birch.
Yeah, and Kem Birch. We're missing another big one. Oh, Wiggins.
Shout out Phil Scrub. Phil Scrub's on Team Canada next time.
RJ, his credit.
Oh yeah, RJ.
You know.
Tristan.
Corey Joseph.
Oh yeah, RJ. That's the big one I was missing. CJ. Yeah, like at its best, that's a pretty. I mean, like God, that's you gotta think that.
Yeah, they're like the sixth seed. They're like the Pacers. Pacers plus. Do you disagree? Do you think higher, Will?
No, I don't think higher, but I think that's around there.
I think
they're
four.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, but then you add Nick Nurse. Maybe they're like four. Around that 4 to 6 range.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's a solid team.
I mean, it's not like you could put together Team France and they'd be like, whatever. Like, they had Rudy Gobert and Evan Fournier again. Like, you know. Although we have to say France did beat USA last year, so, and the USA team had four Celtics on it, which I can't believe Evan Fournier did more to Marcus Smart than Kyle Lowry did sometimes. But
we're being reminded that Tristan Thompson has to play on Team
Canada. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Tristan Thompson's not showing up for Team Canada anymore, but
for all time's sake,
agreed. Yes, yeah, for all time's sake.
Is he even Canadian anymore?
It's Canadian with a K now for Tristan Thompson.
Wow. Yeah. If you say to marry a Kardashian, do you even be Canadian anymore?
It's Canada with a K for Tristan Thompson. Shout out, Brandon.
That's correct. I think you guys are right, though. I don't know. Like, so I got really excited about Team Canada, and then I started to sort of think that, you know, depending on how the schedule works out, and I mean, I don't know, looking at the way that the world might be anyway, the Olympics could be maybe something that's a little bit more difficult. But, I mean, the other thing that we have to look forward to, guys, is the Honest Watch. The propaganda never ends. The propaganda just begins in earnest now. Lots of good stuff coming out from Woj today. It seems pretty likely from, you know, what you hear. I mean, if you believe what you see, that he probably will not sign this extension. So, clock's ticking. We can set up a nice little big stopwatch outside of Bucks headquarters and just wait and see what happens. Which should be great. It's going to be great, guys.
Yeah, Will and Alex are already putting in the reservations. George Street Diner, film something socially distanced. You know, discuss what's it 99.8%.
Can't wait to lie about this again, but no, it'll be great. It'll be great. He's the next savior. Honestly, the Raptors need a superstar level talent. And Giannis is literally a 2-time MVP, and the Bucks are giving him. I still can't believe that after the Bucks lost 4 straight games to the Raptors in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Bucks are like, all right, we're very close to the finals. We're a very good team. You know, what we need to do to get over the top is to get Robin Lopez, Wes Matthews, Kyle Korver, and Marvin Williams. The oldest players in the NBA, let's get them all together. I think Jamal Crawford must have been unavailable. You know, and Tyson Chandler probably wasn't picking up the phone. Like, you know, they just brought in the oldest guys possible. And they said, Giannis, we're going to win the championship. And they lost in 5 games.
I heard they tried to get Vince Carter and he wasn't able to be traded.
Yeah. Vince would rather play with the Hawks and do a podcast.
They have the oldest squad in the NBA. It's really upsetting. I sent a tweet to this Nature last week, but someone really needs to sit Giannis down and show him what's happening right now in Houston and how like seized they are and unable to do anything whatsoever because they're so bound by cap restrictions and age of player, and just sit him down and say, look, this is your future.
Mm. Yeah.
That's my advice for you.
Yeah. There you go.
With the Bucks, because it's not looking good. They don't have much. They don't have much many ways out. Anyway, guys, it was a fun season. So many fun things happened. Never forget coming back from 30 points. Never forget the OG shot. Never forget the winning streak. It was awesome.
It's a great time. Yeah, it's sad it's over, but you know, there's more basketball to be played again. Yeah. I do wonder which comes back to Toronto first, the Toronto Raptors organization or me to we.
Oh, wow.
But we'll see. Right. There's only time will tell.
All right.
Kate, thanks for being
appreciate it.
A regular caller. We appreciate you so much. And you'll hear again from us soon.
We'll see you on Twitter.
Hey, emergency call in show when Giannis rejects his extension.
Oh, listen, I can't wait. Probably. I can't wait. That's going to be all my podcast content for the next 5 months is what Giannis is doing. So,
okay, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Kate.
Peace.
All right. Well, do you want to wrap up the show? The final Stanley suggestions of the entire season?
I've had so much fun making the show, if you will. It was, you know, exciting when I asked Dan Toman to make the show with you in a literal elevator. Yep. I pitched him. And he said yes. It would be impossible without Ashley on the phone.
Definitely.
I think Ashley, thanks so much for all of your help making the show. It's been would have been completely impossible without you. I remember like last summer, me and Will were in an office in Yahoo trying to sketch out taking calls.
Oh, I thought we were talking about getting free lunches.
No.
Let's be real.
Like way back when we were trying to figure out how to do this show ourselves, and it was not going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Louisa Steph, Dan Toman, thanks for the opportunity.
Yep. Ben, Amit.
Ben.
Big Ben.
Ben.
Big Ben's. I'm not talking Benzema. Amit as well. Holding it down
for us. Yeah, Amit.
You know.
Shannon. Yeah, it's been fun.
Wow.
We'll be back again sometime.
Yeah, it's TBD, but you know what? A lot of the world is TBD right now. We're going to we put in a lot of work in the last couple of months. We're going to take a break and when we will be back, we will announce it. The podcast will continue to go as it always does, but yeah, the live call-in show is TBD, but no, it's been phenomenal. Thank you, Josh, for proposing this idea and you know, pushing it to fruition to what it is now. And obviously thank you to everyone for calling in. You know, I'm really happy we got Vitaly and Kate on our last episode here to sort of send off the season so Stanley suggestions. First off, the real Stanley suggestion is to go back and rewatch the season, because there are so many classic games from the season, but that would be kind of cheap. So, you know, Josh, Stanley suggestions, our last ones, where are you going for this one?
This week, I am going to suggest, you know, getting out of the city to Stanley Johnson. I'm not sure if he is coming back to Toronto to pack up his life or where he's headed, but take some time for yourself. I have planned a weekend to go away out to North Kawartha in a few weeks. So my suggestion for Stanley Johnson is to get the cherry tarts this time of season from the Swiss Bear in Apsley, Ontario. That's where I'm headed in a couple weeks. I'm looking forward to it very greatly. And if Stanley Johnson and any of you have the opportunity to get out of the city this fall before, you know, the lockdown restarts and we have to stay inside, I recommend it. That's what I'm looking forward to during our break now. And if you're able to get out of the city and enjoy whatever part of Ontario or Canada or wherever you're listening to this from, do it, because I'm pretty sure that we're going to have to be inside for another big stretch as it gets colder. That's it for me.
Yeah, Will? I mean, I had a similar idea of going out and visiting a lot of Canada, because that's what I plan to do with some of this time off, is to see other parts of this, you know, great, vast, expansive nation that we have. And yeah, Stanley, man, listen, there is a Via Rail train that goes from Toronto to, believe, Vancouver, that takes 5 days. And it's like a luxury car. It's like Snowpiercer, except you're living in like the premium section and not the section that eats bugs. Great movie if you haven't seen that, by the director of Parasite, Bong Joon-ho. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's a 5-day train, and you can, you know, sit on this train. You can visit, you know, you can see the prairies, you can see the mountains, you can see how large Ontario is, all the lakes, all the marshes. And yeah, I mean, have I taken this thing? No, apparently it's very expensive, but he's an NBA player, so he should be able to afford it. And I watched a YouTube video of it, and it looked pretty great. So
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I suggest you take the Via Rail, the proud achievement of the first Chinese Canadians in this country hundreds of years ago, before they were specifically discriminated against, and just, you know, sit on the Via Rail and just go across the country. It's a very beautiful country. I plan to go to BC later this year. Maybe I'll catch you out at Jasper Lake, you know. But seriously, Stanley, this country is beautiful, man. So go out there and go see it. So that does it for the final episode of the Raptors Everything Live call-in show of the 2019-2020 season. Josh, has been an absolute pleasure taking calls with you. And thank you to KFC for sponsoring the show, for seeing the vision. And we'll be back when we're back. Peace.
Peace.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.